You can get all fired up. It's Comet Hockey Night in Fort Wayne, and work day number one of this work week is in the books. One down, four to go. Comet's game five tonight. Hopefully you're planning on being at the Memorial Coliseum. It should be a fun one between the Comets and the Wichita Thunder. Game time 7:35. Jane Alberani is on the call tonight on our sister station. 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Andy's going to be on with us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. We'll talk to the voice of the Comets, Shane Alberani. By the way, you okay, Caleb? I don't know if I got on you too much. Apparently, our good listener, Norma, who's like an adoptive mother. I mean, she always keeps track of me and makes sure that I'm doing the right things on the air, that I'm not embarrassing myself or acting like an idiot or maybe being too hard on someone. She got a little concerned that I was being a little too hard on you in our last hour about the whole Cubs situation. And so I just want to make sure you're okay. There's not any hard feelings and you're not hurt, because I meant it as a sarcastic segment, and I thought you were also responding.
Yes.
Maybe some way sarcastically, although...
Oh, no, the Cubs hatred's real.
You were actually totally truthful. I was the one that was trying to fill it with sarcasm, but yeah, just want to make sure everything's good. Make sure it's good for Norma's sake, because I don't want her to think that, like, I'm truly picking on you. But she wanted me to back off, that I needed to take it a little more easy on you. In fact, you know what she said? She said I was being obnoxious. Can you imagine? I was being obnoxious. Remarkable. Just unbelievable. Me. Obnoxious. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I got to admit when I am wrong. And I was wrong. I came out and said on Friday that it was over, that Milwaukee was not going to win another game in this series. Do you remember me saying that, Caleb?
Oh, I very much recall it.
We don't even need to pull the tape.
But to be fair, this was after game three. It was not after game two.
This was after game three when it was eked out by Milwaukee. I mean, they eked out the victory. And there were a lot of things that Brooklyn didn't do well in game three. And I said, Brooklyn will bounce back. And there were some, but here's the thing. Yes, Milwaukee won game four. The series is tied. But if you remember on Friday, I was counting on James Harden coming back, because I honestly thought that James Harden was being held out as a overly cautious move. In other words, he could probably play if he needed to, but they're holding him out because they have the 2-0 lead in the series and they had won the two games easily in Brooklyn. So I expected that James Harden would be back for game four, and I certainly didn't expect what happened in game four last night, where Kyrie Irving goes down second quarter, twists up that ankle, and now he has already been ruled out for game five. And to me, it would be a modern medical miracle if he comes back for game six or even a game seven, the way that thing twisted up. But Kevin Durant now has to carry this team. And I don't know if James Harden is going to make it out on the court. If it's only Kevin Durant, is that enough? I don't think so, because I think Brooklyn mortgaged too much to get those three superstars. And I just don't think they're deep enough to absorb not only the loss of those guys, but then you have to take guys that are normally reserves, put them into the starting lineup, which means now your reserves are light and you have to count on extra minutes. I think it's a great equalizer in this series. And I'm not saying Milwaukee's got a cakewalk at this point, because you've still got Kevin Durant, and many would argue the best player in the game. But he's never had to do it alone. What do you expect out of KD? Can he carry Brooklyn with this Brooklyn roster? I mean, this is, to me, very similar to what we just saw with the Lakers. To me, it's LeBron and a bunch of role players that filled out the roster, because LeBron didn't have Anthony Davis. And so to me, we've got a similar situation now in Brooklyn. LeBron went down in the first round. Can KD avoid that kind of outcome for the Brooklyn Nets?
I mean, if there's a player that's going to be motivated to try to avoid that, I would think it would be him, because look, he hasn't been in a spot for several years now where he had to be the guy. I mean, when he was at Golden State, they had two other guys.
But he's always chased other players to partner with to go after championships. It's not like, like Giannis, okay? He's made a home in Milwaukee, and he lets the Bucks bring other players to him. KD, you know, Oklahoma City, they had Westbrook and Harden, and then that fell apart, and then KD ends up out in Golden State, where he joins forces, of course, with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and then that apparently wasn't good enough. Then he decides to go to Brooklyn to join forces with Kyrie Irving. They eventually pick up James Harden, but KD has never been the guy that's willing to be the guy. He's always been, you know, I'll be your right hand. And I can't call him a Robin, because I still think that KD is probably the best of the three that are in Brooklyn. But he's never had this kind of position and this kind of pressure. Can he handle it? I'm not so sure. He's never been in the position. He's avoided this position. So in my mind, this is not a good spot for Brooklyn to be in. And I would say advantage Milwaukee. I can't rule Brooklyn out, but I would say big advantage Milwaukee, especially if James Harden can't get back on the floor.
And James Harden, the update from Steve Nash is that Harden is working out. Status unclear for Tuesday's Game 5.
Basically, Steve Nash is saying, I am praying with everything I have that we will have James Harden available for Game 5. I think Steve Nash realizes that you need two of these guys. You can't do it with just one.
Yeah, with two of the guys, I think they're the favorite wherever they go. But with only one, no, it's very much a toss-up.
Yeah, and actually, in fairness, I can't just blame last night's loss to Milwaukee solely on the Irving injury, because they were down 4 points when Irving got injured. But there was a lot of basketball left to be played. Now we've got to look at what it is moving forward. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Of course, we'll talk more NBA. There's other games, other series, and got to talk about the Phoenix Suns. Got to do it for DC, just to talk about the Phoenix Suns and what they were able to accomplish last night. By the way, Caleb, I'm going to give you a few names. I want to know, who are these guys? Higo, Swofford, Redman, and Lipsky. I'm going to give you three options. Is it the penalty kill unit for the New York Islanders? Is it the Pirates starting infield? Or is it the PGA leaderboard from yesterday?
I'm going to go with the hockey.
You're going hockey.
Yeah.
Higo, Swofford, Redman, and Lipsky. It actually would be C. That's yesterday's PGA leaderboard.
Who?
Yeah, if you're not going to have anybody play in a tournament, then maybe you just don't have the tournament. The only name player, well, and I mean, there's guys you would recognize their names. Terrell Hatton, you might remember, you know his name. There's a couple of guys that were on the leaderboard that you might remember, but Dustin Johnson's about the only guy that, when I look at the top 50, think, okay, star, somebody that you would buy a ticket for. Most of these guys would be pretty similar to going to a, what's the secondary tournament now? The Corn Ferry tournament or the Corn Ferry?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be, what, the Nationwide Tour?
Used to be Nationwide. It was web.com at one point, then Corn Ferry, whatever the second level tournament or tour is. That I mean, those are no names. Higo, he won the thing. I've never heard of this golfer. He won the tournament. Swofford? Never. Redman? Never. Lipsky? Never. Now, those guys were all on the leaderboard. They weren't the first four on the leaderboard, but they were all within a couple of shots of the eventual winner. So they were all right there on the leaderboard in the final round. But I saw those four names and I thought, I'll just throw this out there, because I know Caleb doesn't necessarily sit and watch golf on Sunday afternoons. Yesterday, you were helping a friend move. But I thought, okay, what can I could call them the penalty kill for New York Islanders. I could call them the Pirates starting infield, which nobody would know their names either, unless you're watching like blooper videos on Twitter. Did you see the Pirates did it again? I mean, you had the Baez play, right?
Yeah, I recall that one.
And then they had like the Little League play where they, you know, threw the ball away and then threw it away again. And then, I mean, oh, it's terrible. I mean, the Pirates, you know, they always talk about expansion in sports. When can you actually tell a team that if you're not going to be any more competitive than this, you're embarrassing the game and you need to either pony up and get some players or you need to go to AAA?
There's always going to be at least one or two teams, though, in every league that's just a complete embarrassment. I mean, that's just how it works.
You know, Pirates are going to have... Do they have first pick, second pick in the draft? I don't know what they've got in the draft. All I know is there's going to be some good players available because I watched those two Vandy pitchers pitch, Kumar Rocker and the lighter kid, Jack Leiter. Man, they can bring it.
Is that Al Leiter's son?
Yes.
Okay.
And they both pitch for Vanderbilt. And they're a couple of, I mean, Leiter can dial it up 98, 99. Consistently. So anyway, I had a chance to watch a little college baseball over the weekend. Tennessee got the win over LSU. Tennessee going to Omaha. Vanderbilt going to Omaha. Stanford has made it to Omaha. Did Notre Dame make it?
Elimination game tonight.
Their game's tonight?
Yep.
Is it 1-1?
Yes. They won yesterday 9-1.
So they lost the opening game. Yeah.
They forced a decisive game three tonight against Mississippi State. I believe it starts at 7 or 7:30. It's actually on my sports update. You would think I'd know the time.
Oh, okay. Wow. So Notre Dame trying to get their ticket punched to Omaha. By the way, and I mentioned this yesterday on the TinCast broadcast, that to me, the NCAA Final Four and then the College World Series, two of the best events. Not like single games, but events. To me, in that order, number one and number two. Now, you always have things like single competition, like the Masters. Because to me, you would take college basketball tournament as an event. You would take golf's majors as a total event. You would take the NFL playoffs as a total event. And to me, it's college basketball tournament, number one, College World Series, number two. There's just something special about being in Omaha, having a home every year where you go to the same place. That's why it'd be nice if the college basketball tournament would be played in Indy every year. That'd be pretty nice. It's one of my favorite weeks on the sports calendar, and that will get started, this Friday, I think it starts in Omaha. I know the teams are punching their tickets now, and they should be heading to Omaha to get play underway starting this Friday, and of course, ESPN has all that coverage. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, and then you've also got the U.S. Open coming up this week. I don't know if the pairings have been announced. Everybody's been waiting to see what the pairings are, and people are just pleading to get Brooks Koepka paired with Bryson DeChambeau. I'll even give him the third golfer to throw in with that group, and that would be Patrick Reed. So you could take Koepka, DeChambeau, and Patrick Reed, put them together as a group at the U.S. Open. Just don't put Phil in with Bryson and DeChambeau because he doesn't need that circus to distract him. We'll wait and see if they've announced any of the groupings, because I think the pairings are going to be interesting to see. Everybody begging the USGA to put Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka together after their little public feud over the last couple of weeks. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Coming up next, let's talk to the voice of the Comets. It is Shane Alberani who joins us right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We're back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. Of course, you should always be following us on Twitter. We are at 1380 The Fan, at Sports Rush 1380, at Brett Rump Sports, and at Caleb Hatch. Also, be sure to look up our Facebook page, 1380 The Fan, And you can find us on all the other social media outlets. Don't forget our podcast available after every show. Go to your favorite source for podcasts, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you might listen. And be sure you follow us for free on your favorite podcast format. We are going to jump on the Masters Heating and Cooling hotline right now, because coming up tonight, the Comets have a critical and deciding Game 5 out at the Memorial Coliseum. And the guy who will be calling all the action joins us now, Shane Alberani. Shane, I wish we didn't have to get here, but there's a certain energy, I'm sure, in the building when you get to a Game 5.
Yeah, you know, when you get to a do-or-die game anything, you know, it's a bit nerve-wracking. You know, the energy in the Coliseum is going to be good. The Comets did win Game 3 here at home in decisive fashion, so they know what needs to be done. The good thing is, you know, you had two tries at it after you took the series lead, and you get it here on home ice. So what could be better?
Yeah, and it's not even supposed to be on home ice. It's not like we earned it. We just had a building that was available for it.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the just another chapter in this nutty season that's going to be written. You know, it's going to be a season, you know, that we can all write a book on. And this is just another chapter.
You know, what's interesting is we don't want to look ahead, but should there be a case where the Comets would be playing another round of hockey, they would be actually in a similar situation. They would go to Allen for two games and then have to come home and play three and could have another deciding game. So it's very unique, not earning home ice, but having home ice. It kind of a unique situation, like you said. All right, I want to talk a little bit more about Wichita. You've had a chance to see them quite a bit, not only near the end of the regular season, but now you've had a chance to see them throughout this series. What are the keys to Wichita? What do the Comets have to be concerned about that Wichita does well?
Well, Wichita does a good job of taking away the middle of the ice. That's what they did Saturday night. When they got that lead in the third period, they clogged up the neutral zone, wouldn't let any of the skill guys move through the neutral zone, and that's what you want to do when you have a lead. It's essentially kind of a prevent defense. Everyone knows that whoever scores first tonight, that's really going to be the key. I mean, both teams know that. So we might know within the first 5 minutes how this game is going to go. When the Comets get the lead at the end of the first period, they're locked down. I think it's 21-0-3 overall. That's including the playoffs. So when the Comets get that lead, they don't give it up. And Wichita actually has been a really good third period team. So there's a team that's actually used to playing from behind. They've scored 6 out of their 11 goals have been in the third period, but they have come when they had the lead in the third, and that's when they are able to put it away. So the Comets just need to avoid that bad start. You know, and Wichita, they too need to avoid that bad start, because they know if they get behind this Comet team, they know the Comets have a lockdown off a defense.
Who are key players for Wichita?
One of their key guys, Ryan White, their captain, who has missed the past three games, doesn't look like he's going to be in here again tonight. But Mateo Gennaro had two goals in the game on Saturday. So he's a guy to look after. And also Anthony Beauregard. They've got the MVP of the league running around out there. I believe he's got 3 points in this series. So, this team has got a lot of skill, especially up front. So you've got skill forwards against just a tremendous physical lockdown defense. So which one is going to give here tonight?
You know, here's the thing, Shane. Wichita knows they can win in this building. They won 2 out of 3 when they came here a month or so ago. They now have won the game 4. They also played game 4 with their backs against the wall in desperation, playing for elimination or playing to avoid elimination. Does that give them an advantage, having experienced what it's like to play with that desperation, knowing if you don't get the job done, you're setting a tee time tomorrow?
I'm not really sure. It's just going to matter who wants it more tonight. Like you said, who wants to play golf? Who wants to go back to their regular job during the summer? Who wants to? Who doesn't? So I'm not really sure if there's any real advantage here other than just who wants it more.
Let's talk about the goaltenders. They're always important when you get to this point. They're critical. You can't let in any softies. I thought Dylan Ferguson was terrific on Friday night, came up with some terrific saves. I thought he let in a couple that, one for sure, and one that you kind of go, I wish he'd have maybe gotten something on that one. So I don't think he was at his best on Saturday. But what about the two goalies in the matchup?
I mean, with Fergie, I mean, you also got to realize that two of those goals were on turnovers in the neutral zone. You know, you really can't hang those on him. You know, sure, you want him to come up with a big save, but, you know, he's not going to pitch a shutout every game. You got to score goals. So, you know, this is a team that can score goals. So you got to have in your mind, hey, you know what, we need three or four tonight to win this game. And Evan Bightnice has been very good for Wichita, but he's a guy you have to get guys in front. That's why, you know, they were successful in Wichita. They got Justin Vive in front of the net. That he is a big key to this. They take away the slot area, so it takes away that middle ice in front of the net, so the Comets have got to go outside. They've got to go to the faceoff dots, top of the circle, in the high slot, where guys like Alan Lasarchuk and Brandon Hawkins, that's their money spot. So they have got to think about that. They can't think about the passes in front of the net, because that's what happened Saturday night. They have got to think funnel pucks to the net. Get it in there, because here's a guy who does a really good job controlling rebounds, and he's really good with the puck inside the crease. So if that puck is anywhere around him, he is going to stop. But if you can't see it, he's not going to get it. So that's what you have to do.
Jane Alberani joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. I listened to the end of the game on Friday, and I will say this. The crowd, I believe, probably had an impact on the Comets, but I think maybe even more had an impact on one Comets broadcaster. You felt the juice, didn't you, Shane?
You felt pumped up.
It gave you a different little energy in the call.
Absolutely. You know, it was the biggest crowd of the season. It was, it's playoff hockey. And, you know, that's the one thing that the guy, talking to the guys, the kind of the disappointment is that a lot of these guys have played in this building, you know, when it's been 10,000 in here. So, you know, with the restrictions and everything, and it being June, you know, we just have to make it sound like there's 10,000 people in here. And I'll tell you what, the Comet fans that came out this weekend, they really did. I mean, it really felt like the good old days. And so we need you tonight. So if you're out and you're listening to this, there's tickets available. Get on out here, because it's history. It's do or die. Let's get it done tonight.
Do you know tickets, plenty of tickets still available? I mean, what kind of number we've got going into tonight?
I'm not exactly sure. You know, you're hoping for a good walk-up, so I couldn't tell you exactly how many are available, but I know there are available. So you can get out here and get in here. It's hot outside. Come on. Get inside here. It's nice and cool at the Coliseum.
Yeah, who has plans on a Monday? You might as well go to the hockey game, right?
That's right.
Nice cold air conditioning. Of course, not quite as cold as Wichita. By the way, did they have some kind of deal where their ice melted after you guys left town?
No, that was something that just happened. I believe their ice plant broke down right after we left. I don't know if the gremlins got in there after we left. I don't know what happened. But, yeah, it's just, again, one of those stories that you could say, hey, after we barely got those games in because the ice melted in Wichita the day after.
Well, that'll be interesting, because if they need a practice rink, they wouldn't have one if they're able to win this series. So we might as well take them out of any need for any decisions. We might as well just take care of it tonight.
That's right.
It'll be a lot of fun, right? Huh? I mean, it's going to be fun, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm really, you know, it's been a nerve-wracking kind of day. The Comets haven't faced do or die like this in a few years when they played the conference final in Colorado a couple years ago. So, you know, when you have a situation like that, you know, in an elimination game when you're down in the series, it just has a different feel when it's just winner take all.
Well,
you know? So it's been a very much a nervous kind of energy, and you know, you're just itching to get out there and start this game tonight.
And that's the thing for the fans, to get out in the building, because I don't think a lot of fans probably understand or realize how rare a home deciding game in a playoff series actually is. I mean, this does not happen often.
Yeah, no, it does not. For a winner-take-all kind of a thing, I think you might have to go back to the 2007 Turner Cup Final, Game 7, last time it happened here on home ice, so it doesn't happen very often. So, you know, the Comets win this one, they keep on playing, and the season just adds, again, like I've been saying, another chapter, because we can write a book on this. This is just going to be one of those seasons where you're going to remember it. And, you know, and I know there's people are going to think, especially around the league there, whoever wins this series, there's going to be whoever wins the cup, there's going to be an asterisk by it. And I hate that, because this season has been so difficult for so many people. I mean, look at the schedule that the Comets have been on. Every team has been on. You know, these games have been best of five. They've been turnaround, travel, you play the next day. There's been hardly any rest. You know, the talent pool hasn't been as large, obviously. So you actually have had a better quality of play on the ice all season long. So, yeah, I mean, if if the Comets are lucky enough to keep on moving down the line, I mean, this is going to be a very special season and one to really remember, and one of those ones that you are going to be in awe of when it's all said and done.
Have a great call tonight. I know we'll be tuned in, and I hope everybody's in the building tonight to see the Comets in Wichita.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brett.
That is Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets, 1190 WOWO, 107.5 FM. That is where you get the call, starting with the pregame show at about 7:20. Puck will drop at 7:35. Here's the thing coming up tonight out at the Coliseum. And I thought about this, that, you know, the Comets have a unique situation with their roster because these were players that were either going to play with the Comets or miss a season. Because you had players that got signed when teams started back in December. But for the guys that weren't signed at that point, when it came into January, and you had only a couple of teams that opted in at that point. In fact, I don't know if the Comets were even the only one. At that point, then, you didn't have a lot of places that you could go as a player. And so guys like Justin Vive, that's part of how he ended up here, if I'm not mistaken. And picking up guys out of Toledo when they opted out for the season. And so there are players that got an opportunity to have a hockey season because the Franckis came through and delivered, even though it was costing them money. They opened their doors. They got the players signed. And in some ways, I feel like that almost should serve as a motivation for this hockey team. That this is a unique opportunity that you've got that you could have been without, that you could have got an entire season without hockey if it wasn't for the Fort Wayne Comets and the fact that they decided to go ahead and suck it up, lose a ton of money, but put on a hockey season for the Fort Wayne hockey fans and the Fort Wayne Comet hockey players. And maybe that is something that can drive this team tonight, as they play the deciding Game 5 out of the Memorial Coliseum against the Wichita Thunder. We'll take a timeout. We're going to be coming back. NBA playoff talk coming up on the other side. White Sox have a big series starting tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. It's right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM starting at 7:30 tonight. White Sox Rays baseball. Speaking of the White Sox, we've got something big coming up this Wednesday. We've got White Sox Wednesdays here on the Sports Rush. What that means is you tune in on Wednesdays. We're going to give you a cue to call in and win, and you'll get a four-pack of tickets to White Sox baseball at Guarantee Rate Stadium on the south side of Chicago. And if you you are with us this Wednesday, we'll have our first set of tickets, and we will give those away during the Sports Rush. So be ready for that. White Sox Wednesdays right here on the Sports Rush. Okay, so NBA playoffs last night. I feel better about this, Caleb. I did say that I thought Chris Paul deserved really high-level recognition to be the MVP of the NBA because he brings a veteran presence to that Phoenix team. He just kind of completes what was a group of really young players that just needed that parental guidance on the floor. I mean, you almost feel like Chris Paul is kind of the guide that's tutoring them, that's teaching them winning basketball. Jay Crowder's been an impact player for them as well. I almost forgot that Jay Crowder ended up there. But he was an impact player, I thought, for Miami. I think he's kind of an underrated guy because it gives you a physical presence, gives you an attitude. He hits some big shots. I mean, he's not a top-level producer, and in no way is he in the talk for MVP, but Jay Crowder is a nice little supplemental piece to that Phoenix roster.
And I would say with Chris Paul, look, I am not Chris Paul's biggest defender by any means. I've always thought he's been slightly overrated, but what he has done with this Phoenix team is really changing my mind on Chris Paul. I think he's helped his legacy a lot.
Yes.
As far as not being remembered as just kind of a whiner, honestly. I mean, I feel like that's what a lot of people would have with Chris Paul. Talented player, one of the best point guards in the game. I don't think anyone's going to question that, at least currently. But what he's been able to do to elevate a Phoenix team that was not even playoff worthy to the Western Conference Finals in the first season, I mean, that's a phenomenal accomplishment.
He's earned some respect. He's improved his image. And last night puts up 37 points. Now, we all know that Chris Paul can distribute, but he ended up going 14 of 19 from the field, 37 points. You get Devin Booker chipping in with 34. The two combined for 71 points in the deciding game against the Denver Nuggets. Of course, Nikola Jokic ended up being kicked out of the game. I don't think it mattered. Phoenix was going to advance at some point out of this series anyway, and Phoenix ends up winning it. But, you know, I the Phoenix team is fun to watch, and you've got to give credit where credit is due because Monty Williams is doing a great job coaching them. You've got young talent in Bridges, Ayton, and Booker. And then you have, you know, and really you've got a young general manager out in Phoenix, a former player that takes over as the general manager. And he's the one that's kind of assembled the roster over the last couple of years. And you start getting these guys like Chris Paul, Jay Crowder. And all of a sudden, it just kind of completes what they needed for a combination of veteran presence, young talent. I mean, this is really, to me, it's almost a coming out party for Devin Booker as well. I think most of the country did not realize the star that Devin Booker had become out in Phoenix. And now with the advancement through the playoffs, I think more people are going to be aware of just how good he is. He threw up a left-handed floater. Did you happen to see that shot the other day where he drove the lane? And I don't know if he even went off the wrong foot, but he drove the lane and kind of just flipped up a 10-foot left-handed floater. That's one thing to master the right-handed floater, which a lot of guys work on that shot, and you're starting to see it become part of the arsenal. It's a way to get the shot up and over a big man who's protecting the rim. But Booker put it up with the left hand and hit it on the drive to the basket. I mean, he's a scorer. I mean, he is just a natural scorer that can beat you by taking it to the basket, beating you in transition, hitting the outside shot. He's a talent, and I think now everybody's kind of seeing what Devin Booker is really all about as well.
Well, and I think he's becoming more than just a scorer. You know, his efforts in the elimination game so far in the playoffs, I mean, he was big last night. He was huge in the elimination game against L.A., I mean, that's a step up for a guy who's a young player who's, you know, he's probably a top 20 guy, but, you know, everyone just knows him as a scorer, like you said. And I think he's becoming more of an all around player, which is, I mean, what the Suns obviously need as far as for long term success with him and Ayton and whoever else they bring along. I mean, Bridges obviously is a key guy. So, I mean, this is a Suns team that, you know, if they get the Jazz next round, I mean, I think that's the series a lot of people who are outside of New York and LA are looking forward to seeing.
And the thing about Booker, and we talked about this before, is that he was the leader of the team. He was the guy last year. But we saw in the bubble when they went undefeated, then they didn't make the playoffs, missed the playoffs by some tiebreaker. We saw exactly what Phoenix could be, and we also saw what was missing. And there wasn't a lot that was missing, but it was just a very young team. There was a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a very talented group, but they were just missing that senior guy, that veteran guy. And a Chris Paul comes in and he just becomes the perfect fit to what Phoenix needed. And Chris Paul's having, I mean, I don't think you can say, or I don't think you can argue that this has been Chris Paul's best year in professional basketball. Team success, personal success. I mean, hard to argue that this isn't the best he's ever had.
Yeah, I mean, he's had better individual seasons, but I think he is seen as a guy now who doesn't need to be the first option, which is fine, especially when you're later in your career. I mean, he's been in the league, what, since 2005?
But he's still got that ego and arrogance that he'll take the big shot. He's not afraid of the moment.
And the crazy thing is last night, his performance, he's not hitting threes. I mean, these are mid-range shots that people
mid-range
don't take anymore.
Yeah, a lot of mid-range. And some difficult shots. I mean, a lot of one-step fadeaway, one-foot fadeaways. I mean, he had a full arsenal last night, 37 points for Chris Paul. Phoenix sweeps Denver. And I said that at some point in the playoffs, Denver was going to get exposed for not having Jamal Murray. And with guys like Booker and Chris Paul, I mean, losing, not having an extra guard, that really hurt Denver. So Phoenix advances. And now coming up tonight, we've got Hawks, Sixers, yawn. That series just does not excite me at all. I think the Hawks have a chance, but there's so many things that have to go right for the Hawks to have a chance. But it does kind of excite me to have the Clippers and the Jazz tonight. I was surprised at what I saw from the Clippers in Game 3. Totally different team, totally different Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. And so now all of a sudden the Clippers have the opportunity to win another home game, even up this series before it goes back to Utah. And Caleb, I said that the series doesn't begin until a road team wins, and you got a chance now for the Clippers to take care of business, send it 2-2 back to Utah, be right back in this if they get the win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, playoff P, now Paul George's ego, playoff P, not playoff P as we know it. I mean, if he shows up, they could very much tie up this series. And, you know, the Jazz are going to be without Mike Conley tonight as well. So that's another key guy that won't be a part of the lineup. And I don't know. It's hard because the Clippers on paper are the better team, but I don't think they have kind of the guy that can go next level like Donovan Mitchell can with the Jazz.
I mean, Leonard and George combined for 65 points. This is what 34 for Leonard, 31 for Paul George. George was 6 for 10 from 3, where he's been struggling in the series. This is what they envisioned when they basically made a deal to get the two together on the team, was that they would be 1A and 1B. And that's what they were in the win Saturday night, 132-106. They crushed Utah. I think Utah bounces back. You know, I think they're fine. Mike Conley not being out there, he hasn't played, I don't think, yet this series. So I don't think that's going to be a big changer. They won without him. You know, they got to get something out of Bogdanovich, guy that we're pretty familiar with. Bojan only was 2 for 10 from the field, 1 for 5 from 3 in the game the other night. He just had 9 points. And because that's a team that you get Mitchell scoring and you let Mitchell go on his runs, but then you have to have the other guys hit threes. That's Utah's arsenal. That's their game. Utah is about hitting the three-point shot. And you got to have Ingles, Bogdanovich. Those are the guys that generally hit the most of them. O'Neal ended up hitting 4 of 6 the other night, or was it 4 of 8? He ended up with 12 points. But I think Utah bounces back, and I think this game tonight will be a heck of a game because I think both teams will be looking at this as this is the game that decides the series. Clippers can't afford to go down 3-1 going to Utah, where they lost games 1 and 2. And for Utah, they don't want to give the Clippers the momentum in the series and get it all tied up 2-2 with a chance to take the series lead and win their third straight going out to Utah. So I think it'll be a fun game tonight, that one. But here's the thing. You know when that tips? After 10 o'clock.
10:30?
Yeah, it'll probably be like 10:15. It's listed at 10 o'clock on the schedule. That'll be like a 10:15 tip. So what will that be? 12:45 before it's over? Crazy. Late starts. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. Quick break. We come back. We wrap it up. It is a huge Monday. Comets at the Coliseum tonight. Game 5, the deciding game in their series with Wichita. Hopefully you get your tickets and get out there. We'll talk more about that and more when we come back on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Fernando Tatis Jr. doing Fernando Tatis Jr. things yesterday. I don't know if you saw, but it was a tie game late in the contest. Fernando Tatis Jr. comes up yesterday against the New York Mets. Boom, baby, with the bases loaded. A grand slam for Tatis ends up carrying the Padres to a season or a series ending win against the New York Mets. Now the Mets take on the Chicago Cubs. This series starts in New York. Cubs will send Jake Arrieta to the mound tonight. Big series for the Cubs after being so successful at Wrigley Field over the weekend, sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals. And we're still not going to get the Go Cubs Go theme from our producer, Caleb Hatch. He refuses to play Go Cubs Go. But anyway, Cubs, Mets tonight. Also, right here on the radio, we've got the White Sox taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. That's a huge series in the American League. That will start at 7:30 right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Tonight, the Comets, Game 5, deciding game of the best-of-five series against the Wichita Thunder. Of course, we'll have the broadcast on our sister station, 1190 WoWo and 107.5 FM with Shane Alberani on the call. but you should be at the Coliseum tonight. Make the jungle rock. It can make a difference. Remember, these players have not played in front of raucous crowds, so let's get in their heads, let's take control of the jungle, and let's cheer our Comets on to victory. And on to Allen, who they will open with on Friday should they win tonight. Thanks to our guests, Justin Cohn and Shane Alberani, for jumping on to talk a little Comets hockey with us. We're coming back tomorrow. We'll have Tin Caps baseball because we've got Tin Caps manager Anthony Contreras in his weekly visit. He'll be joining us from Dayton, Ohio, where the Tin Caps will start a 6-game series against the Dayton Dragons. That will do it for us. For Caleb Hatch, I am Brett Rump. This has been the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.